from a newspaper cutting. The loss of the smack desire. The following interesting details of sad occurrence in Mounts Bay on Saturday have been received. They have been supplied by the only survivor who now lies in the Southern Hospital at Liverpool. They are given as nearly as possible in Thomas Strike's own words. He says, "About a quarter to 12 on Friday night, my uncle, John Strike, the owner, was the watch on deck. Seeing the ship coming straight on, he called us up, myself being one of the last to get out. She struck us quick as thought, cut into us like butter, and then my leg was broken. In this condition, I got on board the Corlick. Before I was on the boat's deck, I heard a flashlight strike on board the ship. Our lights were burning, and brightly too. I believe we were all on deck before we were struck, but I'm not sure about the boy. When struck, we all rushed forward to the windward of the ship, which was going 8 or 9 knots. The boats was instantly underwater, all but the rail. John Thomas and I crawled along the rail and got hold of the ship. A sea wash poor Thomas off. I held on. My first idea was they might be foreigners and would heave me overboard. But as soon as I was assured of my safety, I shouted, Glory, Alleluia, and praise God. One of the ship's crew got down to the dolphin striker and got hold of poor Hawking by the fingers, but could not hold him, and he dropped into eternity. While on board the Corlick, I had the best of treatment. All were very kind to me. One of the apprentices, named Duncan Allen, was particularly so, and the mate read the Bible to me. Friday night was thick at intervals. The Corlick left Falmouth that afternoon, originally from Rangoon. She is an iron ship, 843 tons register, with an overhanging bow and cutwater. Strike is progressing favorably, but the fracture of his leg was severe. Lines on the accident to the boat Desire of Porthleven near Elston, Cornwall. March the 10th, 1871, and loss of 7 lives in Mounts Bay. Come, seamen, all attention pay. Ye landsmen, too, give ear. Whilst hearing what I have to say, I think you will shed a tear. You may be anxious now to hear I speak that which is true. Life to every man is dear, as it was to this active crew. This nimble crew their sails soon set, their anxious hearts did wish that soon at Plymouth they might get there to commence to fish. They soon arrived, their hearts revived, being safely brought from sea. With one consent to the pool they went and lay there near the quay. At Plymouth a short time they lay. From there they did proceed, intending then to go to sea, that fish they might succeed. They shot their nets, and there they lay, till they began to haul, and all in before the break of day, their catch was very small. They fished the ground all around, a week or more being spent. Then to the westward they were bound at Ilford, Orchard River went. Then their boats they safely moored, and home they went every one. Each wife received with one accord the husband and the son. Soon underway they went to sea. There was some cause for fear. Being stormy wind, they bore away and went to Falmouth Pier. Leaving Falmouth, the weather thick and wet, with speed they got in Mounts Bay, and there they shot their net. Other boats did them surround, for they saw many a light. Just then a ship for Liverpool bound, she quickly hove in sight. The watchman thought to make all right, the weather rather thick. He then put up a flare-up light, and called all deck hands on deck. The lookout sailor saw it bright, and quickly made it known, unless we alter for the light, we are sure to run it down. The boat's crews with an anxious look cried out, what shall we do? At last the ship, the boat she struck, and cut her right in two. These men then in the waters were, to struggle hard for life. Then they thought of their dear mother, their family, and their wife. Then the watchmen on deck, they flew, each man his life to see. But alas, seven of the crew soon found a watery grave. Still the ship held on her way, but little time did wait, whilst one was clinging to the stay out of the number eight. His leg was broken with the wreck, himself he tried to raise. He struggled hard and got on deck. To God he gave the praise. Men often use their power and might, if so it should require, to save life on a dirty night like the crew of the boat Desire. But in this ship it was not done with those that was on board. She registered 600 tons, and not a boat was lowered. Very early the same morning, we rightly understand, a boat she was returning from sea towards the land. The captain cried, I see a boat, let us try what we can do. Her bow and stern lay both afloat, and severed right in two. But what became of her crew, they could not tell nor learn. They saw her number in the bow, Desire in the stern. They went to land to spread the news, for they could do no more, that they might get some other crews to tow the boat ashore. This lost off boat did soon advance to speak what they saw true. They spread the news about Penzance to the neighbors of the crew. They named the wonder to assist belonging to Port Lovan, while sure by several men they did enlist besides their own crew seven. That mournful day they searched the bay, soon proving all was true. To see the state in which she lay were doubtful of her crew. To take her bow they did succeed, consent by all was given, that with all speed they should proceed to their native home, Port Lovan. Not far from home they soon drew near. The water then was low. They could not bring her in the pier. Outside they let her go. The neighbors saw the boat afloat. They wished the news to learn. The Mary Jane, another boat, she came in with a stern. Three gigs then manned with active crews soon brought her within the pier. To the bereaved, how sad the news caused many a flowing tear. They searched the deck, the crew to see, but none. The scene was shocking. The oldest man was 63. His name, it was John Orkin. John Strike was next in age to him. Two sons with him he had. Sunk by his side, eldest Jim. John was a little lad. John Thomas for age now comes in turn, then Thomas Matthew Stowe. Their parents, they did greatly mourn to find that all was true. William Allen joined the other six to struggle with the wave. But oh alas, his doom was fixed, he found a watery grave. Thomas Alfred Strike, though last on deck, preserved by God alive, severely injured by the wreck, oh, may he soon revive. All you a bereavement bore, oh, suffered grief and pain, Dry up your tears and weep no more. You soon will meet again. My friends, I pray, don't think me rude. To all I speak this word, I feel I must before conclude, ask you to seek the Lord. The Savior will your souls revive. He suffered for your sake. In the sixth trial he will not leave. In the seventh he will not forsake. For the fatherless ones may God provide. Bereaved ones of poor leaven, in death to place them near his side, at his right hand in heaven. The loss of the